T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So we've been talking in the first hour, you know, Spartanburg, South Carolina, making some news here. Zion's going to be taken number one in the NBA draft. The Carolina Panthers announced they'll be back at Wofford College for the opening of training camp, July 24th. But the newest member of our team here at ESPN Upstate that we know how to put the fun in dysfunction is Cole Bryson. You can follow him on Twitter at the Cole Bryson. He is our new play-by-play voice of the Burns Rebels. He'll also have a Saturday morning show. And Cole, you know, interestingly enough, you've had a pretty up close and personal look at Zion, who has been who's going to be one of the storylines. I don't know if you saw the tweet earlier today from the Bleacher Report. Zion's meeting with the media. There's 500 cameras and media guys around. The dude on the next podium has nobody there.
Well, you know, Sturge, it's a good point. I mean, I heard maybe it was on ESPN Upstate in one of the commercials. Somebody say that this was one of the biggest draft picks potentially next to LeBron James. And, you know, that's easy for us to say, and that's easy for us to compare Zion to whoever, but, man, are we really already to that point? Like, you're right. I've watched him play for years now in Spartanburg, and when he was at Spartanburg Day School, you know, he is what he is. There's no, you know, it's all bite. It's not just bark. But are we really already comparing him to LeBron? And are we ready for that this soon? I mean, he hadn't even got drafted yet. And I heard you guys, you know, talking about bust. I'd hate to even put those two in the same conversation, but, man, it's early.
And of course, with me, I mean, let's be honest, you know, he had become an internet star to a certain extent before he ever made his way to Duke University, maybe the primetime college basketball school in the country. But I'm not ready to put him in the LeBron category yet, because even though he's very mature and he handles everything well, I got to see how this body continues to fill out before all is said and done, Cole.
Yeah, that's a good point. And another point for me is I want to see how he in the NBA, and not in college. I know people have talked about him at the college level at Duke, but I want to see more than anything how his jump shot continues to evolve in the NBA. We see a lot of players in the NBA who are really good, who have the size, who are, you know, some over 7 foot tall. But in the world we live in today, if you can't shoot, you're not going to make it. And I'm not saying Zion can't shoot. He can shoot. But that's become the most important, you know, attribute in the NBA now. It's not your size. It's not your height. It used to be. You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Zion in the NBA would be a lot different than Zion will be today, because, you know, it's a completely different game. So his greatest attribute, sadly enough to say, has to be shooting. I mean, and if that continues to evolve and he can continue to get better at that, and model people like Steph Curry, who are, you know, gym rats and shoot and shoot and shoot, you know, he may be one of those. But you've even seen players like LeBron have to continue to work on that shooting game in today's NBA.
All right, one more. There is no downside when it comes to Zion personally. And by that, I mean he's a good student. He was very successful from a very challenging academic school with Spartanburg Day. Very humble. He brings a buzz to the building. I told you, when we went down for that second round game with UCF, I mean, there's just a whole different buzz. But I don't think he gets overwhelmed by anything, because if you saw today, he celebrated his time with a Popeye's chicken box, you know. So he's not eating in the five-star restaurant. He's in the drive-thru at Popeye's like the rest of us.
Well, and that's one thing you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, Sturge, when we had that Saturday show here in Spartanburg, is he is where his feet are. And that's something that he's talked about on several different platforms and that we've talked about, the media's talked about. You know, that's one of the stories that probably doesn't get talked about enough in the national media. He's very humble, as you mentioned. He's very down to earth. If you have a conversation with him, he is down to earth. He, like you said, he seems like your, you know, regular average Joe until you give him a basketball, and then, you know, he's a different animal. But as far as the person he is, yeah, and that's kind of like Mark was talking about, Mark Ryan was talking about on his show a few weeks ago when people speculated that, oh, Zion probably won't stay. He might go back to Duke. No, you know, it's I get that it's a tough situation because New Orleans is, I think, the 30th most valuable franchise in the NBA. Yeah, I get that it's tough, but he's very humble. He is where his feet are, and I think that anywhere he's selected, it didn't matter if it was there or Memphis, the worst or the most, you know, the least valuable mm-hmm. franchise in the NBA. I think he would have tried his best to prosper, and he will bring a buzz, like you talked about, that he brought to Duke. He will bring that buzz to New Orleans, and he's got to, because that franchise right now is as dysfunctional as they come.
All right. Again, we're talking with Cole Bryson. Follow him on Twitter at the Cole Bryson, new play-by-play voice of the Burns Rebels. And Cole, this isn't your first rodeo. You come from a very successful Bowling Springs program, just a couple of years removed from a state championship. But you're going to find out now, moving to Burns, there's a little bit of electricity. You know, Burns is a top 10, basically, high school football program in this country. And there's a little bit of buzz when Burns comes in the building. So give us an idea how this transition's going on, because you've had some great moments at Bowling Springs, mm-hmm. but Burns is that team everybody gets up to play.
You're right, they are. And I think sometimes we forget that because we live in Spartanburg, you know, just 10 or 15 miles from Duncan. I think we forget how big Burns is, because Burns, you know, the past couple of years before the Reggie Shaw era, before his era, they did go through a little bit of a slump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that changed the perception for people around this area of Burns. But guess what? It didn't change the perception, you know, from the United States of America of Burns, because whether it's in New York or down in Florida or in North Carolina, like a team they're playing this year called Huff High School out of North Carolina, it doesn't matter. They're still Burns. They still have the name. And when you hear Burns, you're right. It's one of those teams that has some teams beat before, you know, they even walk on the field, or teams that are already up 14-0 before they get on the field because of just the way they walk onto the field, their swagger. And, you know, Reggie Shaw has done a great job of bringing that culture back that Burns had when Bobby Bentley was there, and he's doing a great job instilling that culture back into this successful program.
So what's your play-by-play style? Because, again, I want people to know this is not your first radio. You've been doing this at the high school level, and, you know, you were actually I'll share it. You were the choice of Burns. They told us at ESPN Upstate, here's who we want done, and you're replacing a guy in GMAC that, quite mm-hmm. frankly, I felt like play-by-play was the best thing GMAC did. So the one thing is, don't follow his lead. What makes you a little different is a play-by-play.
Well, you didn't have to bring that up. You're right. Listen, you're 100% right. Following in the footsteps of Greg McKinney when it comes to play-by-play is very, very tough. He was as professional as they come, and you're right. I have had a little bit experience doing play-by-play in color. And, you know, as far as me and what you'll hear from the Burns broadcast is, I am an excited person. Mm-hmm. If you know me or have been around me, you know that I get excited about football, and especially high school football. So I'm sure as Coach Lane Fowler, the basketball coach, and I will be on the broadcast this fall, I'm sure you'll hear a lot of excitement, and hopefully every game, at the end of the game, you'll hear a lot of excitement. So we're looking forward to it. We really are. And like you said, you're right. It's big footsteps to follow, and Greg did a great job, but we're excited to get the train rolling.
You know, we did that show in Spartanburg. As again, we continue with Cole Bryson, and of course, he'll be doing a Saturday morning show as well. But, you know, when you and I were up there in Spartanburg a couple of weeks ago, Coach Shaw came by with his quarterback, who is not your normal size quarterback in the high school mm-hmm. football level, and he's still got a way to develop, as well as I guarantee you that the other players just looking at him, he's getting offers. And, you know, it all starts right now. It's 7-on-7 time, and, of course, next weekend at Burns High School, they got the Palmetto State Showdown on June 28th and June 29th, and I'm sure you're going to be there soaking it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. We will, and it's going to be an exciting weekend, the Palmetto State Showdown. It is at Burns High School. They did make a change yesterday for all those who expected it to be at the fields behind the middle school. They have changed it now. The games will, the 7-on-7s will be played at the soccer field, which is the practice field, and on Nixon Field. So if you know where the stadium is for Burns, that's where you can come out and watch a lot of good action next weekend, as teams literally from the southeast, from North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, a team from Alabama, your neck of the woods, Sturge, will be competing. And it's going to be a lot of good competition. And Coach Shaw, talked to him today, matter of fact, and he's excited. You know, just you can't base your season on these 7-on-7s, but you can get a lot better. And that's what Coach Shaw wants to do, is they'll see a lot of good competition next weekend.
So tell us about Saturday mornings, because I can tell you, you know, you earn your keep with your other job as well, but that's a quick turnaround at times to clear that system from Friday night football and then turn around and get back on the air on Saturday mornings as well.
It is, and I've had a little bit of experience with that, and you're right. It's quick may not be a good enough statement. It's very quick. Sometimes you don't get home till, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock, and then you'll be at the station first thing in the morning. That show is a fun show, and what I mean by that is, Mark, it's one of those shows where you'll hear a lot of what happened the night before. You'll hear a lot of call-ins from fans and people who were at the games, and of course we'll have a lot of players and coaches interviews as well. But, you know, we make it available to the callers, because high school football in the upstate is something that is so just ginormous, and people love it. People get excited about it. People go crazy about it. People cuss at it. People get pissed at it. So it's just a huge spectrum, and we want that to be included in our show, you know, the good and the bad. So we're excited about it, and we do want to let the audience know that they're welcome, and their calls are more than welcome. So first thing on Saturday mornings during football season, you can tune in to the Saturday Morning Scramble.
Well, listen, Cole, you're a class act. I challenge all our listeners, go follow you on Twitter, at the Cole Bryson. That's C-O-L-E-B-R-Y-S-O-N. And we'll keep you getting you on leading into the first broadcast of Burns Football and your show to give people an idea of what's going on. Thanks for getting in with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you, and appreciate the time today.
All right, there's Cole Bryson. And, of course, you can get in with us. Who is that bust in the NBA? Or maybe we'll have that guy, you know, a mountain. You know, listen, sometimes people, we need to grow up as human beings, and especially as adults, and realize that we are the ones that are setting the trends in motion for the forward. And there's some rednecks out in Colorado that need to be publicly shamed as well as publicly humiliated, in my opinion. 844-GSP-ESPN. Phones are open. Ryan, we'll be right to you when we come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So we've been talking a lot of basketball. Why the NBA is having a draft tomorrow night in Zion, a local product, likely to be taken number one. He's going to be taken number one. Who are we kidding? Let's get Kelly's opinion on Zion. Kelly, thanks for holding through the break. I hope you're doing well today. Whoops.
Kelly from Travelers Rest, South Carolina. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing fantastic. Hope you're enjoying the day.
Hey. You know what? I'm listening to you and listening to Cole. I'm so glad y'all ain't drinking that Kool-Aid like that other station up here in Spartanburg is drinking about Zion. I agree with you. I think he's got a long way to go before he's crowned the next king of the NBA.
I think there's a couple of things to watch out with Zion. Number one, and like I said, the game has transitioned a little bit. You have to be able to shoot the ball. And listen, he worked on that dramatically during his freshman year at Duke. I think he made a couple of statements at times with his shots being three-pointers. But let me tell you something. The guy, we got to watch his physique. You know what I mean? Name one other player like him in history. We've seen other players that are the same body style as a LeBron James, and you know those guys go on to success in the NBA. Listen, he is a bigger version, in my opinion, Kelly, of Charles Barkley. He's a more talented version of Larry Johnson, but he's still going to have to deal with some body style issues like the former New York Knick, Anthony Mason.
Yeah, I tell you what, if he keeps going through that drive-through at Popeyes every day, he's going to look like Charles Barkley. He's going to have to cut that mess out real quick.
Now,
hey, but on that boy, old Cole Bryson, man, let me tell you what, I'm excited for some high school football, and I followed that boy's career for the past couple of years when he was on that little bitty old station up in Spartanburg, and now he's on this your gigantic network, going to be nationwide. I tell you what, let me tell you right now, Sturge, Travelers Rest Football Devil Dogs. We going all the way this year. I'm telling you, the blue and gold. Hey, upstate Greenville, Spartanburg area, you want to come see some good high school football this year? Come check out TR, baby. Woo!
All right, Kelly, I love to hear that passion. Listen, I think the Devil Dogs had their best year in years this past year. And, of course, yeah, we're excited to have Cole part of the new broadcast with Burns Football on Saturday mornings. And I've done a show with him now, Diesel. And, of course, we just had him on. And you can't fake enthusiasm. You know what I mean? And that is a good way of putting how Cole handles things. So, all right, Diesel, I'm trying to get something loaded up on our ESPN Upstate Facebook page right now. We mentioned this earlier. Not all rednecks live in the South. Is that a fair way of putting it? Because I'll never forget. This is like the first like Southern time I realized, oh, my God, I know he's from the South. I'm eating dinner in Paris, France after my sophomore year in college with a French lady and her son that me and my buddy were staying with around from the Eiffel Tower. And she didn't speak any English. Her son did. So she sort of could not have been a sweeter lady. So Jean Guillaume, which is John William in France, we're in this restaurant, and I look over, and this dude, Diesel, he's got his napkin tucked into the top of his collar. And then he raises his hand, snaps his finger, and goes, yo, garcon, you know, instead of garçon. And she starts giggling, does mom, and we realize, oh, God, this guy's from somewhere in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, or Tennessee. Probably were correct, all right? But hit it, because we got a moment. We got a moment. We hadn't had too many of these high horse moments, but are you ready for one? You ready to become morally correct here when all is said and done? All right, so a couple of days ago out in Colorado, Lakewood, Colorado, to be exact, they're having a seven-year-old youth baseball game, all right? You know one of the cool things about this seven-year-old youth baseball game in Lakewood, Colorado? The umpire's 13 years old. And it turns out that the 13-year-old umpire in this 7-year-old baseball game has more brains than a whole lot of adults do. Why? Because one of his calls, that 13-year-old umpire, started a brawl between adults. According to the Denver Post, a police spokesman won't offer any additional information on what the call was or why it started a brawl between parents who were supposed to be watching a game played by their young children. The Lakewood police have now released a video of the melee. You can go to our ESPN Upstate Facebook page. We just posted a link to it. And it's as bad as you think it is if we're on our high horse here in South Carolina, because it's a total redneck move by these parents. What the hell are you teaching your kids, 7 years old, that you're going to get so upset with the call of a teenager that you're going to go out on the field and start a fight? We're talking about a brawl, Diesel, in which several injuries are reported. According to the Denver Post, the police have also issued a number of citations for disorderly conduct and fighting in public. However, there may be a more serious charge to come out of this. Police are specifically looking for the man in the teal shorts in the video with the white T-shirt. He could be facing assault charges. And again, what do we do, Diesel? What do we do with human beings getting this upset at a 7-year-old baseball game where the umpire is 13 years old? I don't want assault charges. I want every one of them's names, and I want this video posted over and over again on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Maybe public shaming, because that would be public shaming. Maybe public shaming will fix this. But how are we supposed to expect anything better out of our children if the adults are acting like this? Counterpoint.
Well, kids learn from their parents, and you know, parents always look at kids and say, oh, they're so bad in this generation. You're the ones raising them. You're the ones teaching them, or not, how to behave. So if your kids are bad, it's your fault. It's not their fault. They're kids. They don't know any better. It's your job to teach them.
And you go, this is not like two guys getting out there bumping each other. It's a brawl. It could even be a melee at a 7-year-old youth baseball game. Here's what I'm going to recommend to you, Johnny Redneck, whether you live in Greenville, South Carolina, Hoover, Alabama, Brunswick, Georgia, Knoxville, Tennessee. If you find your passions being so inflamed at a little league baseball game, a youth baseball game, walk to your car. Walk to your car. Don't be that guy, because I promise you, these 7-year-olds are going to be scarred for a little while from watching parents brawl at their baseball game and act like a bunch of idiots. Yes, we are from the South. We are from South Carolina. I've had people, including last week on our cruise ship, we didn't do one of these whole Sturgis Disney family crew T-shirts. We all had the same T-shirt of the palmetto tree and our moon, our state logo. And I was asked multiple times, you South Carolinians think y'all are the best? Because no, we're proud to be from South Carolina, but we have rednecks. But guess what? Rednecks are everywhere, including Colorado. If you're going to brawl at a little league baseball game, a youth baseball game, you define redneck, in my opinion.
I just want to know, what are they putting in the cotton candy in
no
Colorado?
No kidding. Yo, maybe some
Rocky
of that.
Mountain High.
Exactly, exactly. And again, you can go to our Facebook page and check it out. Just posted it. Rednecks are everywhere. there. It's from NBC News. It's labeled Wild Parent Brawl breaks out at children's baseball game in Lakewood, Colorado. And yes, come find me, guys. Any of those guys out there on the field fighting, come fight me. I'll call you a redneck to your face. 844-GSP-ESPN. When we get back, let's get going, man. There's a lot left, including some news on Last Chance U.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, apologies about that soapbox moment, but come on, fighting at baseball games, Diesel, we want to leave that for the stands, you know what I mean? At college football games, at NFL games, not at baseball games, because maybe the greatest quote ever yelled in a sports movie was in, the Flint Tropics with Will Ferrell. Everybody hit somebody. So anyway, sorry about that. NCAA baseball going on. Vanderbilt in Mississippi State. It was 1-0. I'm looking for an update on it right now. But Diesel, so many times we actually have made the comment here in the past, the unofficial kickoff to the college football season is college football media days, right? You know, what we like to call talking season, or, you know, my favorite moment that I ever, really took something away and went, wow, was it my first ACC football media days back in the day. And it was at Sawgrass in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm in this room, and there's this guy kind of chewing on the end of his pen. He ain't writing nothing down, all right? Nothing. It will get 20 to 30 minutes in between coaches or not, you know, at that time in the setup. And we get 20, 30 minutes. So we get to talking. After a couple of days, you get to know each other. And I looked at him and I said, sir, you're just kind of curious. You hadn't written anything down. And he looked at me and I forget who it was. He goes, son, he goes, I've been coming to these things for 22 years. I ain't heard nothing different yet. You know what I mean? You know those generic comments that you're getting ready to get. Man, the team unity's the best we've ever had. I mean, they really took ownership there in the locker room and on the practice fields, that we didn't have to go out there and be, you know, all up in their grill. What are some of the other generic comments that we're going to get?
They're really flying all over the field and working really hard out there. And I'm really impressed at our strength and conditioning because probably the healthiest team we've had.
Yeah, so there, you know, we signed every recruit that we wanted. Is usually someone, you know, every single one of them we had our eye on, blah, 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 blah. So that's one of the unofficial rites of passage, if you will, especially here in the South when it comes to the beginning of the college football season. However, there's one that's come up in the last 3 to 4 years, and my question is it going to continue? But we just found out this morning, Last Chance U, that we talk about every single year.
Love the show.
It will be back on Netflix with this year's premiere on July 19th.
How many F-bombs do you think there's going to be in the premiere this time?
Oh, there's going to be a bunch, because guess what takes place this year that hasn't happened in any of the 3 previous years on the show?
Did they invite Jay from Jay and Silent Bob to come and coach the team? Because he says F more than probably the 2 coaches they've had so far.
No, this Emmy-nominated series, and that's what. And I want to see this continue. Maybe you do a 2-year window max. But it's back at Independence Community College in Kansas, which features Coach Jason Brown. And, of course, this is over last year. See, they were 2-8 last year. This is the first season in which they feature a losing football team. So you just hit the nail on the head. You remember one of the all-time great skits in a comedy movie saying meow 10 times in that stop in Super Troopers? What's the over-under on F-bombs on a Jason Brown coach team that goes 2-8?
A lot. And I'm surprised the administration hasn't come to try to put a stop to it. But I mean,
oh, he's gone. He will not be coaching this year.
You just said Jason Brown was back. I thought you said Jason Brown was back.
No, but this is from last year's football season. So
okay.
So he got fired. You remember he recruited?
They went and found somebody who said F even more.
Yeah. No, he went and recruited the German kid and sent him a text where he told him he was his new Hitler. And he immediately gets fired within a couple of days. But no, this will feature last year's 2-8 season at Independence College. I hope that they are continuing this with somewhere else this year. But to me, between Media Days and Last Chance U, that's kind of the unofficial kickoff to the college football season. You know what I mean? So, again, first time this series has ever highlighted a losing team. So we'll see how that one goes down when all is said and done. But, you know, the key is to get to the Hall of Fame. And, of course, you know, we tell you here on the show so many times about our friends at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. That's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard. We'll be out there later on in the week hanging out at night. But I would say it's a pretty fair situation, Diesel, when if you win the Heisman Trophy, gives you maybe a little bit of leg up when it comes to making the Hall of Fame at the next level. However, Heisman Trophy winners have typically fallen a little bit flat when it comes to the NFL. You go look at the likes of Ty Detmer. You go look at the likes of Gino Toretta. You can go back and look here in the last decade or so, the likes of Robert Griffin III. That's why I have a little bit of an issue, if you will, with everybody anointing Robert Griffin III is the next great NFL quarterback, because for every guy that's measured out under 6 feet for Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, I'll give you 25 names that did not transfer or translate to the NFL level. So Heisman trophies are not necessarily the stopgap. At least now I like the fact, you know, life is cyclical. You have ups and downs, things change and that. Back in the day, I got a little bit irritated with the Heisman Trophy Award, Diesel, when it became a sort of a career award. Like Gino Toretta, that was a career award, in my personal opinion. We had a few other of those back in the day. At least now we've gotten it to the point that the, you know, hottest player with possibly the best statistics has the chance to win the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, last year, Kyler Murray comes out of nowhere. Now, I will say this much, and I mean it. If Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma as a first-year quarterback wins the Heisman Trophy as the third consecutive quarterback at Oklahoma, take the Big 12 out of it for a three-year period because it's 7-on-7. But Lincoln Riley should also be given credit for it. So who are the top 10 candidates for this year's Heisman Trophy? We'll take a look at them, and then, of course, we will wrap it around Sam Kahn Jr. at the top of the 6 p.m. hour. Sam covers Texas A&M and a lot of things out there in Texas for ESPN.com. There is a big Texas A&M alumni gathering tonight that Jimbo Fisher is going to speak at, so he's out there. We'll find out, because Texas A&M, week number 2, they come into Death Valley, and a lot of people are speculating that's going to be Clemson's toughest game of the year. I think it's too easy to say that at this point. But, you know, when we come back, it's open phones. Give us your opinion. Number one, we have found out, Diesel, in the past, you make a negative comment about LeBron, people don't like it because he's that polarizing. You know what I mean? I'll put him on my Mount Rushmore of NBA players, but he will never be the GOAT, in my opinion. All right, but that will upset some people. Same thing with Zion. Are you completely sold on Zion being the next LeBron James? Because I want it to happen. I'm just not 100% sure it will happen. I think there's some other variables involved. So when we come back, it's open phones. Give us a hit on either one of those. Plus, we'll start looking at the top Heisman Trophy candidates for 2019. All that coming up is, again, we're live in studio till 7 o'clock. And as always, you got us here locally in Greenville on 97.7 FM, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM, closer toward Clemson. And you can always take us anywhere you're going on the radio.com app. We'll also give you a College World Series update when we return as well. It's open phones in this segment. Anything you want to get off your chest, whether it's Zion-related, NBA trade-related, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't become a little bit of a jealous 51-year-old white-haired man tomorrow. Because some guys, some kids, for playing basketball and being extremely talented at it, their net worth is going to surpass mine in about a 2 minute, if it already hadn't, based on shoe contracts and things of that. Their net worth is going to shoot past me in the matter of 2 minutes, yet I've been working 30 years.
I mean, you and George Costanza could probably have a great one-on-one basketball game.
See, it's already back to short jokes, huh? You telling me I can't take Jerry Seinfeld and then who's the tall, weird one in that show?
Kramer.
I promise you, I got game, man. I'll sit out there at the three-point line and, you know, let's play a little horse and we'll talk about it. But, yeah, it is – and there are guys that, you know, unfortunately, every year, they're not ready for this. Not mentally, not physically. And most importantly, not emotionally.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is we cast these guys off so quickly. I mean, you know, all right, we'll go down this road real quick, and then we'll save the college football talk after starting with Sam Kahn. I like a lot of the upsides of Zion Williamson. Number one, I think he's ready for everything that we just talked about. Emotionally, support. Listen, Spartanburg Day School and then 1 year at Duke, that prepares you for success in the next world, you know, in the next level of your career. All right. Just to be eligible at Duke. But listen, I've talked to multiple people. Zion always handled his own business in the classroom. Physically, I think he's still a little bit of an enigma. Because he was the biggest badass on the court this past year in every game he played. There were very few matchups in college basketball that allowed Zion Williamson not to take advantage of it. That's why a lot of times Duke, even in crunch time with Coach K, it was give Zion or give R.J. Barrett the ball, let him make a roll for the basket, and if they don't finish it, have somebody at the rim to finish it off. Diesel, we saw the exact opposite out of Michigan State when they beat Duke to advance to the Final Four. What did Tom Izzo do? Tom Izzo calls a timeout with an upper-class basketball team and calls a set play. In his fourth year junior, hits the big shot, and they upset the bunch of one-and-dones. So not every 18, 19, 20-year-old that gets drafted tomorrow night is going to be ready for the next level, for the NBA. There's going to be a Sebastian Telfair in this class. And I bet, Diesel, I look at you. You've heard me mention him on the show, but you're probably going, who's Sebastian Telfair, correct? Sebastian Telfair out of New York City back in the day before they did the one-and-done rule. He jumped straight from high school to the NBA as a little guard. He was nowhere ready for the rigors of the NBA. He's gone in a couple of years. He's now in prison. Because guess what happens to these young men if they don't live up to the expectations that everybody else has placed on them? They're on this list, like we talked about earlier in the show, as a bust. do you really want to have to go around with that label over you for the rest of your life? Because I don't want to look at him and go, you're a complete failure. You were talented enough to get yourself in that position in which you got paid. You get drafted in the first round of the NBA draft, you get paid, Diesel.
Yeah, and you're setting yourself up for a, you know, an ESPN 30 for 30 kind of life if you're that kind of a bust. And, you know, obviously nobody wants that.
Yeah, that stigma's attached to you, you know, and it's hard. Look at Johnny Manziel.
Well, he's done it to himself.
Yeah, he's. But the point is he will never be able to shed that enigma that he has created for himself, and I don't think he'll ever get another opportunity in the game. That's like, you know, so again, there's going to be that Sebastian Telfair in this class. Zion, I don't worry about anything off the court with him. Number two, he's got moves. He's got game, and a good coaching staff is going to allow Zion to take advantage of things, but he's now grouping up where he's going to be playing against men every night. There was a lot of times this year in his freshman year at Duke, he was playing against boys. You know what I mean? It was men versus boys. The only thing that worries me with Zion, how his physique continues. You know, he and Finnish stopped growing yet. Whether height or bulk, you know what I mean? Could he bulk himself into something that we've never seen before on the basketball court? And if that happened, would that begin to erode the skills of which we become accustomed to seeing? That's my only concern with Zion. That's why I'm not willing to put him in that same realm when LeBron was coming out, because we had seen LeBron's physique. We have seen that power forward kind of tight end, but not as heavy as Zion, be successful all through the NBA past. I think you got to compare Zion to a multitude of three or four, maybe five people for different things. Charles Barkley. And what was Charles Barkley's nickname for a long time in the NBA? Do you remember?
The round mound of rebounds.
Absolutely, but that's not necessarily a compliment. You know what I mean? It was physique-oriented. Secondly, Larry Johnson. He was a bird of a different breed and a little bit of a tweener. He was more in the 6'4", 6'5", range, but he did produce. He had a healthy career. But in the long run, Diesel, Larry Johnson may be known for what? The former UNLV star, as much as his success in his career in the NBA. It was a great ad campaign for a shoe company where he was called
Grandmama.
Right. So these are things that are coming that they're known for that aren't necessarily known. Now, it helped them reach a level. Then Anthony Mason, you know, if you remember him back in the day with the New York Knicks, he is your CrossFit athlete on the NBA floor. You know what I mean? He was a man amongst boys, but he could clear out the lane, he could rebound, but there was not a lot of finesse to his game. You know what I mean? So I don't know who to compare Zion Williamson to, but maybe a myriad of those three guys and some others that were really physical. So that's why I have a little bit of a question mark. It's not that I don't want him to be ultra successful, because it would be good for our upstate of South Carolina. I'm just not willing to give him this pass like he is the next successful guy that we have seen since LeBron James. You got to earn that.
But that's what you got to do if you're an NBA draft reporter. It's your job to blow each one of these guys up out of proportion and make them seem like every single one of them is going to be the savior of the NBA. And then when they bust, who cares? Because you can move on to next year's new crop of guys.
Who's the next person to throw under the bus? Because if it bleeds, it leads. It's not about the success.
Okay, well, you're looking at it from a very negative standpoint there. I'm talking about it's your job to get people to watch your coverage. And who wants to watch coverage of a bunch of guys standing around saying, well, we just don't know. They could be good. They might not. We don't know. So we can't really speculate. Nobody wants to watch that. They want to watch somebody say, this guy right here is going to be great, because you know why? They want ratings in New Orleans. They want ratings in New York City. They want ratings all over the place, up, down, left, right. They want the ratings. So they got to tell you that this guy that your team is about to draft is going to be great.
And they want those ticket sales. Did you see those phones light up in New Orleans the night that they won the lottery and the rights to draft Zion number one? You know what I mean? All of a sudden they're cheering. The next thing you know, their lines are going off left and right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you know what? I think I'm more disappointed in you right now for comparing me to George Costanza than any other short joke that you've ever made here on this show. You know what I mean?
You're both short. That's the only comparison.
So we can give you an update at the College World Series, Diesel. Number 2 seed Vanderbilt taking on number 3 seed Mississippi State. I'm telling you, Vanderbilt off to a hot start, or now they're trying to close it out. Top of the 7th inning, Vanderbilt has a 6-1 lead on Mississippi State. So here's what's at stake. Earlier today, Louisville beats Auburn. They eliminate the Auburn Tigers. Louisville will move on to face the loser of this Vanderbilt-Mississippi game in a Mississippi State game in an elimination game tomorrow. The winner of this game between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State will then wait on the winner of that game and only have to beat them one time. All right. Tonight, if we get to it, and it sounds like we will, 7 to 8 p.m., you're going to have an elimination game between Texas Tech and Florida State. The loser's eliminated. The winner has to go on and face Michigan. And Michigan only has to defeat them one time. So Michigan in the driver's seat. The winner of Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, will be in the driver's seat in their bracket, but no guarantees when all is said and done. Of course, best 2 out of 3 will settle that College World Series championship out in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park. So when we come back, Sam Kahn Jr., he covers A&M. We know what Jimbo Fisher's trying to get done at Texas A&M, move themselves into contention for a national championship. He's meeting with the alumni tonight and with the media in about an hour, but we're going to catch in with Sam Kahn, find out how Aggie faithful are feeling about things as college football season is just right around the corner.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.